In Parshas Baloska, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kadosh Baruch Hu in davening for Miriam, Kel na rafa na la. So first just to teach, we know that in general, Rashi oftentimes in Chumash quotes the Chazal that ein na el Lashem Bakasha. Rashi often translates na as Lashem Bakasha, as please, if you will. The Targum consistently translates na as ka'an, as now, almost exclusively. Rashi sometimes says eina lashem akasha and sometimes doesn't tell you anything. So presumably the default is often it's a lashem akasha, but not necessarily the case. Like for example, in the pasuk haliteni na min adaba damazeh. So typically, if you ask any preschool child to translate the pasuk, they'll say that Esau said to Yaakov, "Give me now." So according to Targum, that's referish, then it means "give me now." According to Rashi, it could mean "give me please." The issue isn't so much that Esau wasn't polite, it's the context. So Esau might well have said, "Give me please," and still be criticized for the statement. But over here, it's interesting that the Targum, this is one place I know of, and maybe there are others, but the one place I know of, the Targum renders na as Lashon Bakasha. So he actually translates Kel na Rafa na la. The first na is Lashon Bakasha, and the second la is Lashon Ka'a now. Offhand, I can't think of another place where the Targum translates na as Lashem Akasha, although Lashami, maybe you'll find others. The Chizkuni says the same thing as well, that the first na is Lashem Bakasha, and the second na is now. So, Kel na, Rafa na la, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please heal her now. In the Suda Pardes Yosef, the Pardes Yosef is only written through Chumash Vayikra, and someone recent years wrote something in this style. So in the Suda Pardes Yosef, in this parsha, he quotes other Rachonim, who explained that both Nas may be Lashon Bakasha. So why the redundancy? So he explains, there's a notion in Chazal that when it comes to Tefillah, if you daven, that accomplishes half of the goal. So in order to accomplish the entire goal, you say Nah twice. Lashon, double Lashon Tefillah. That's what some Rachonim say. So whatever it is, this Kalna Rafan Allah is viewed as Chazal, is a paradigm for a tefillah for a chola. So if you look at the Gemara in Brachos, and Daf Lam and Dalet Amun Aleph, the Gemara has, excuse me, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa B'tamid Echad, Sheyar L'fnei Ateva, B'fnei Rav Lazar, Vayamarach Yosef Midai, so some men dam for the Amun, and he was taking too long. Amar L'tamid, Rabbeinu, Kama Archon, he's taking too long. Amar Lahem, he has a way to go. Klo Marach Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu, Dichsiv Bey, Es Arbeim Yom, Es Arbeim Alay, Lashin Es Nepalti. Then it happened again. Different Talmud was Mekatzer too much. They complained, he's too short, he's too fast. And Amar Lahem, Klo Mekatzer Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu, Dichsiv, Kel Narifa Nala. Then where it says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Chista, Kol Mevakish Rachamim Al-Chavero, Ein Sarach Lahaskir Shmo. When you daven on behalf of someone else, you don't have to mention his or her name. Shenemar Kel Na Rafa Na La V'lo Kamad Kishma De Miriam. Moshe Rabbeinu daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Miriam's behalf without mentioning Miriam by name. So you see that to be mispalel for someone's welfare, well-being, and health, you don't need to mention their name. If you look in the Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Yates of Katan Aleph, he says that's partially true, based on a Zohar. He notes that Gemara is referring to a situation where you're mispalel b'fnei hachola. If you're in the presence of the chola, then there's no need to mention the name. However, if you're mispalel shelo b'fnei hachola, then you must mention the name. Sorry, that's based on a Maharil. Maharil distinguishes between where you're mispalel b'fnei hachola and where you're mispalel shelo b'fnei hachola. Why should there be a difference? If you look in the Chasam Sofer in his Chidushim al Meseches Nedarim Daf Mem Amud Aleph, this is cited by Rav Avadya in the Chazon Avadya on Avelus, the beginning of the first pieces on Hilchas Bikur Cholim, which is the first Simon in Hilchas Avelus, Simon Shilam Hay in Yoridea. So he quotes this Chasam Sofer, who says, quoting Mikubalim, that when you mention a name, that could create some kind of kitrug against that person. His Oris Hadin. So when you're davening in the presence of a chola, so there's no need to mention the name of the chola because it's clear who you're davening for. You're in his or her presence. So since there is a downside to mentioning a name, better not to mention the name because that is unnecessary since it's clear what the context is. if you're not davening with Ne'achola, so then the context is unclear. You have to mention the name, notwithstanding the fact that they may create some kind of minor kitrug or minor his oris adin against the chola. So if you're with Ne'achola, you don't have to mention the name. Shalom with Ne'achola, you do mention the name. Based on this Gemara Brachos, there's another distinction along the same lines. We have in Shulchan Aruch, Sibin, Shin, Lamed, Hey, Sif, Hey, that if you're Mevakesh, Racham, and Bifnei Achola, so then you can be Mevakesh in any language that you please. If you're Mevakesh, Shalom, Bifnei Achola, so then you're supposed to be Mevakesh, Beloshon, HaKodesh. Why is that? So Mepharshim explain that if you're Bifnei Achola, so then the Shekhinah is there, then you don't need an intermediary, and the tefillos go right up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you're not Bifnei Achola, then it's not as direct. It has to be perhaps Lashon HaKodesh. Malachim only understand Lashon HaKodesh, so that might be some of the reason behind that distinction. When you're mispalel for a chola, so the standard convention is to mention the name of the chola and the name of the mother of the chola. Where does that come from? We make a mishaberech for a chola. We mention Ploni ben Plonis, typically. So that is based on a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Samech Vav Amid Beis, the bottom of the first page here. Amr Abaye. Amr Li Aim, the Gemara has a series of memers. Abaye was raised not by his mother, but the person who raised him he referred to as his mother. So the Gemara there has a series of memers that Abaye quotes from his adopted mother, or the woman who raised him. So Amr Abaye, Amr Li Aim, Kol Minyani Bishmadi Ima. So all Minyanim, we'll define that counted things in a moment, are in the name of the mother, we call Kitri Bismola. We'll turn the page. Rashi explained, Kol Minyani, Kol Lechishos, all incantations. Umenesha Koflin Osan, Yesh Shalosh Pabim V'yesh Yosir, Kari Le Minyana. So the reason it's referred to as Minyan count is because these incantations are typically repeated in sequences. Vishma De'ima Ploni Ben Plonis. So Rashi explains, the Gemara is saying that when you use an incantation, which presumably is some kind of tefillah, or some kind of request, so you should do so using the term Ploni Ben Plonis. That's understood to be the source for the more common practice to use the name of a mother when making Mishaber Fechol, as opposed to all other halachic declarations or statements when we use the name of a father. Why should there be such a distinction? So in the Marashal, the Chachma Shlomo, he notes the following. Dafka naka ploni ben plonis, shebeni adam makirana isha shehi aim havlad, yoser me aviv. Not so apparent why that should be the case. But he says that people generally associate individuals with their mother more than with their father. Not sure where that comes from or how we know that, but that's what the Marashal writes. Other Rachmanim say a different approach. If you look in the Tshuva Sekan Aaron, Rav Aaron Wolkin, Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Aleph. So he asks this question, why is it that we typically use the name of a mother? He says, in general, there is a principle of Soklin Ala Chazokos, that even though you can never prove beyond any doubt the paternity of any individual per se, but we assume that Rov Bilaseis Labal, and there's a Chazak and there's a Rov, that the husband of the mother is the father of the child, and that's a strong enough Chazaka to basically be operative in all areas of Halacha. They should have said the same thing here. Why Dafka here do you mention the mother, not the father? So maybe when it comes to Tefillah, where we're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth, so even if there's an infinitesimal chance that the person that we identify as the father is not really the father, but we know beyond the doubt of the mother, it's so better to mention that which we know beyond doubt, as opposed to that where there's potentially some minor doubt. Also not necessarily the most convincing explanation. If the mother
knows who the father is beyond her, no doubt, right?
Not necessarily.
The mother doesn't know.
Usually, but it doesn't have to be the case.
Okay.
And there could be, could have a case where there are multiple candidates.
I'm saying, but if the mother knows, like, the mother could know, right?
The mother could know. Usually the mother would know, but there's potentially there are situations and the mother may not know. Okay. In the Suda Pardesosi, quotes in the Dekel Machan Ephraim that the gematria of Rifana is Miriam Yocheved. So Miriam Bas Yocheved. Okay. Even though he notes that that pasuk is the source of the Gemara says that you don't have to mention the name Bifanov, but be that as it may. Rishon to us from the Rav that Rabbi Ginek related that Rabbi Ginek once asked the Rav to be a mispalo for his father, and the Rav asked him, and he told the Rav his father and his father's mother's name, that the Rav should be mispalo for his father, and the Rav said, no, tell me your father's father's name. And the Rav apparently had the tradition that even a Mishaberech V'chola should be recited in the Ploni Ben Ploni format. Although Rosh Hashanah says that in public, if the Rav ever made a Mishaberech V'chola, he would follow the standard convention to say Ploni Ben Plonis. But in private, if he would daven for V'chola, he would say Ploni Ben Ploni. And the Rosh Hashanah quotes that Rav Milton Feinstein has the same practice as well, so apparently there is some, at least family tradition, that this is the case. So the Rosh Hashanah is Mitzayin, he writes this up in one of his farm, he's Mitzayin that if you look in the letters of Rav Kook, Chelik Beis, there's one letter there in which he's writing to someone in Brisk, and he says, and tell me the name of your mother and her mother so I can be mispalel. So Rav Kook apparently followed the standard convention. Okay. There's a Sefer Hasidim, Simin Tuf, says that even though in general a person is not allowed to say his father's name or his mother's name, and not, definitely not to address a father, mother, Rebbe by name, when it comes to being mispalel for chola, so then you don't use titles, you just mention the name. So even if you're mispalel, you're going to say mishaberech for your father, you should mention your father's name as his name, not say Avi, because when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there are no titles. He quotes the pasuk by Shlomo Melo. Shlomo refers to David Avi in the context of a tefillah. So when you're davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there are no titles. It's to refer to your father to his face and by his name, or maybe to other people. When it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no issur of referring to your father or to your rabbi by his name. So the convention, when you say Mishaberach, even if you're mentioning your father's name, is just to mention the name and not to mention titles. So when you say Mishaberach for Rabbi, also Mishaberach for Chola, you don't generally include titles. Minchas Chinuch says this as well in the end of Simin Mitzvah Reishna and Zion, that when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there are no titles. We have the same convention in a get. The Ritva says, I think it's on Daf Lama Dalet and Gittin, that the practice is not to write, maybe has a minority opinion, but our practice is not to write honorifics in a get. If someone's a rabbi, so then we don't say harav, we just say plenty of plenty. Your father's a rabbi, you don't say ben harav. We once had in the Beis Din we were doing a get for a conservative rabbi, and she said, I'm a rabbi, so please write my title in the get. So we said in the get that we don't write honorifics. Achronim are bothered by other issues when it comes to a tefillah for a chola. Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yitzayin, Simen Lamed raises the following question. Chelek Yitzayin, Simen Lamed. The Gemara says in Shavuos and Daf Tesvav, a member of Yehoshua ben Levi, that you're not allowed to be misrapa b'divrei Torah. You're not allowed to heal yourself through divrei Torah. So what does that mean? The way the Rambam explains Allah in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, I think we quoted this in a previous year, the Rambam Perakid Aleph Halacha Yabez says that he has a series of things that fall into this category, which are essentially forms of Nichush, Korei Alatinok, Meniach Sefer Torah Alakatan. So these things are forms of Nichush. And he says one of the examples is a kari lochesh alamaka v'kari pasuk min haTorah. So you say this incantation for a wound and you read a pasuk. So Rambam says that's a form of nichush. So that's the din that you're not allowed to be misrapa b'divrei Torah. That you can't heal yourself b'divrei Torah. To say psukim to heal yourself, that may be a form of nichush. So the Tzitz Eliezer quotes others who raise a question. So what about the standard practice to recite Tehillim and then to say Mishaberech V'chol after the Tehillim? Isn't that a violation of the sin of Asur L'Rapis B'Divrei, using Psukim to heal yourself? So he has a number of explanations as to why it doesn't fall into the Rambam's category of Lochesh Alamak or Misrapa B'Divrei Torah. So first he quotes the Meiri in the Gemara in Shabbos, maybe, even the Gemara and Shabbos, that this whole din that Asur L'Rapos B'Divrei Torah, that's talking about where that's the only refuah. Whereas you're not going to go to a doctor, you're not going to take any medicine, all you're going to do is say psukim. So if all you're going to do is say psukim and think that's going to magically heal you, that's a violation of Misrapa B'Divrei Torah that may smack of Nichlish. But if you're going to go to the doctor and take medicine and perform all the conventional therapies and do what you're supposed to do, and then you daven to Hashem, you say psukim from Tehillim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you a refuah, that's not a violation of Misrapa B'Divrei Torah. That's doing what's appropriate. You're davening to Hashem in addition to taking all the hishtadlus methods that are appropriate. He quotes from the Marsha in the Gemara and Shabbos that the Marsha is bothered. How do you reconcile the fact that you're not allowed to be Misrapa B'Divrei Torah with the Gemara of Chash B'Roshi Yasa B'Torah? The Gemara says, if you have a headache, you should learn Torah. So why isn't that Asur L'Rapos B'Divrei Torah? So Marsha says, it depends what your Kavana is. If you're learning Torah with a Kavana to improve your spiritual state, to have a Refuas HaNefesh, so then that could lead to Refuas HaGuf. If your intention is that somehow there's some medical science behind this connection, that if you learn Torah, if you say psukim, so that is going to medically heal you, that's going to itself create a physical refuah, so that smacks of nichush. But if you're learning or davening because that should be a schus for you, because you want the spiritual refuah, so to speak, and then you hope that the physical refuah will follow the spiritual refuah, then that's not a violation of this din. So for these reasons and others, either that it creates a yisarus, that it creates a spiritual refuah, not a physical refuah, or that you're not exclusively being misrapa b'divrei Torah. So for these reasons, the Tzitz Eliezer concludes, as is the general practice, that there's no problem in saying psukim from Tehillim, and then and davening for chali. And he says maybe if there's a problem, maybe the problem is only you skip. You say pasuk here and a pasuk there. You say kapitzel Tehillim. So that's not a problem, that's not a violation of Asur L'Rapos B'Divrei Torah. And he concludes by saying, Hanach Len L'Yisrael, Emei Nevi'im, Hei B'nei Nevi'im, that this has been common Jewish practice for many years, and there's nothing to be worried about. Rav Schechter quotes that the Rav had a different concern when it comes to making a Mishaberech or Tefillah for Chola. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin that there are three things that are maskirin avanos of Shaladam, three things that create a kitrug, that remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu of our sins. One of them is Iyun Tefillah. So it tells us there is bother that sometimes the Gemara says Iyun Tefillah is good, sometimes the Gemara says Iyun Tefillah is no good. What's the Yishuv? So it tells us says that if your expectation is that your Tefillah is going to be answered, so that's the kind of Iyun Tefillah that's bad. That you're diving into Hashem and you demand, you expect, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen to your Tefillahs. So that's Iyun Tefillah, that's the Iyun Tefillah that is masker of anos of Shel Adam. So the Rav thought that if you say Mishaber for Chola, and you say Bavur Shakahal Mispalim Baviro, so that's max of the Siyan Tvila. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please heal this chola because we're davening for him. So that's demanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he listen to our tefillahs. That's the kind of Iyan Tvila that's inappropriate. So the Rav thought that you shouldn't say to Mishaberach Bavur Shakah Mispalim Baviro. That's a violation of Iyan Tvila. That's demanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to provide the refuah because you're asking for it. But rather, you should be no dev saka. So then, that's like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daftale that you can say Amanas Yichu Bini. You can give Selus Elas Saka Amanas Yichu Bini. So you can give saka and say that it should be zchus for refuah. So more appropriate is you say Mishaber Chachol. You should say Bavorsha Ploni no dev saka. Because then that doesn't smack of Iyun Tefillah. So Shechter quotes, this is Prince of the Nefesh Harav, that once the Rav was davening at a minyan in yeshiva, didn't usually daven there, and the guy was so happy that he was there that he made a mishaberech for him, and then and he started saying the standard nusach mishaberech for an ola, that bavur she'ola l'chvod haTorah, And then the Rav insisted that no, Bavar Shanadar, he made a donation. And the guy was so excited that he said another Mishaberach for the Mispaulim and for everyone else. It happened three times, and every time the Rav was just pledged more money to Tzedakah. So that's that was his concern. That's time to say Bavar Shaka Mispam Bavaro. It would be a violation of Rishbakabi and Tfilah Shafter says that if you're not going to give Tzedakah, so it's still worse to say Bavar Shanadar Tzedakah if you're not going to fill the nether. That's even worse. So, and when I was a Gabi in Yeshiva, at one point I switched to saying Bavar Shanadar Tzedakah, and then I spoke to Shafter about it again, and he thought that if no one's really being Nadar Tzedakah, he should switch back. Rav Henkin has a similar concern. Rav Henkin, they started reprinting Rav Henkin's Tshuvas. So in the first volume of the reprinted Tshuvas that they called Ruas Eliyahu, this Rabbi Kleinman, who was in Lakewood, now he has a shul in Brooklyn, so he's putting together previously published and unpublished works, Tshuvas from Rav Henkin. So Rav Henkin had the same concern, or similar concern, printed in the new volume of Ruas Eliyahu, page Peidalid, that he says the old minhag was when you make a regular mishaberach for an old Torah, so you were no other tzedakah. It's not like we do now. You have two mishaberachs. You have the free mishaberach, bavar sha'ala, and then the dava. But it used to be one mishaberach. The mishaberach was bavar sha'nadar, which is appropriate, because then you're saying that I'm giving a bracha bavar sha'nadar. But if you're going to say, give him a bracha because he got called to the Torah, so that's a bizayna Torah. He should give. He should get a bracha because he went. So he should be all the Torah. What's the chachma of the fact that he was all the Torah? He should be mevarech someone else in the schus of the fact that he was all the Torah. What's the bailus there? So Rav Henkin thought that he should be maaser tel yashna, go back to the old way. And just say a single mishaberech with the neder. If you're not going to make a neder in tzedakah, then don't say mishaberech. Maybe you should make one mishaberech at the end of laying for everybody. He thought he should go back to the old minhag. In the footnote there, they point out that in the tshuva of the Beis Yosef, the Afkas Rochel Simiyud Beis, it's very clear if you look there that he's referring to that kind of a situation where the standard practice seemed to have been that mishaberach meant the mishaberach with the neder l'tzedakah. Just to conclude with a related note about Mishan Adars, one of the Takanos of the Young Israel movement or the more modern shuls has been to gradually get rid of Mishan Adars. So from the efficiency standpoint, people think that it's more efficient and creates more decorum. From a Masadur Gittin standpoint, that has certain collateral damage. Our practice is, the practice based on the Gemasudr and many others, the practice of many Batei Din, is that we only include in the get a Shem Kodesh if it's in use. Someone has a Shem Kodesh, maybe he is given a Jewish name, but no one ever calls him by the Jewish name, he never gets called to the Torah, so then that's considered Nishtaka, and we don't write the get. Some other practice of even, Rav Henkin another practice of writing a Shem Kodesh Merisa, even if it is not really used, because the Maisa, that's a Jewish name, but the practice nowadays in most Batei Din is that if it's really Nishtaka, then you, if it's not used at all, you don't write the Shem Kodesh. So when it comes to, for males, typically speaking, even if they go by an English name in the street, everyone calls them by their English name, but they'll get an Aliyah every now and then, even a Shul like this, you get Aliyah once or twice a year. So that's enough to make the name in use so you can write it in a get. But by women, unlike that conservative rabbi, most people in our community don't get called to the Torah. So then how do you, if they don't go by their Hebrew name out on the street, so in what context is a name used publicly? The only context is a Mishan Adar. So the husband, the father makes a Mishan Adar using, with a public declaration of the name. They talk about in Kvitlach, so maybe if you give a Kvitl to Rebbe, then that would be enough to prevent the name from being Nishtaka. We don't use some Kvitlach around here. So the only situation in which you could have, if someone doesn't go by their Shem Kodesh in the street, the only situation which it comes up is in the context of Mishan Adar. So unfortunately, you see that a lot of shuls nowadays totally got rid of Mishan Adars. So we have situations of from women who come for Gittin, who just can't write their Hebrew name, even though we'd like to. So that's the collateral damage of not using Mishnah others.
I don't think you can institute, you know, we're
going to
make Mishnah others from now on in case you ever institute
divorce.
You can't present it that way, but...
You look like you.